In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to name him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her.
So I used to really quite dislike Christmas. Okay, you might be shocked at that. I really didn't like Christmas. And there was early in my nursing career, I used to make sure that I was deliberately at work on Christmas Day so that I could avoid going back home to see my parents. That sounds awful, doesn't it? I'm glad to say that my children, they're all going to have to see us on Christmas Day, whether they like it or not. But there were reasons for that. But however, the biggest reason, in a sense, why I didn't like Christmas was because I was focusing on the wrong things. I was looking at all the wrong things. And, you know, it can often be the same for people today. It can perhaps be the same for us here this evening. We're bombarded, aren't we? We're bombarded by messages of what Christmas is about. So Christmas is about giving gifts to one another. Yes? You're not sure whether to say yes now, are you? Because you think I'm going to come to this different point. It's about gifts. It's about food. Yeah. Okay. It's about wonderful family times together. It's about snowmen. Not always here, but some parts of the world. It's about sweet little robins. And of course, it's about that man there with the beard. That's as well as Christmas lights, as well as the cards you get. The list goes on and on, doesn't it? And you know, those things are perhaps not bad things in themselves. But there's more to it than that, and it doesn't work well for everyone. If that's what you're focused on, it doesn't work well for everyone, because when you have a mindset that that's what Christmas celebrations is about, and that's what they're meant to comprise of, and then it falls short of that, you don't quite have the food you're expecting. I mean, we're going to my daughter, she's cooking us Christmas dinner, and she's revealed that there won't be any sprouts. Okay. Now, for most people, I realise that would be a positive. For me, I love sprouts. Anyway, I'm going to be gracious and not let on how awful that is for me. But, you know, when that's what Christmas is about, that's what you think it comprises of, and it falls short in some ways, and often it's much more serious, isn't it? The family times aren't what you see on the television, on the adverts. You perhaps don't get the gifts that you would like. There's a number of reasons. You know, we can at best be disappointed at that. And at worst, you can be like I was. You can actually dislike Christmas. I'm hoping that over this Advent season, as we're going through the beginnings of the Gospel of Luke, leading up to Christmas, that we'll hear God speak to us and catch glimpses of what the season really is about, of what Christmas really means. We've come to that part of Luke's Gospel, the beginning, which is called the Annunciation. And in the church calendar, there is an Annunciation Sunday. So I'm going to just a little quiz for you here, only one question to it. What date this year was Annunciation Sunday? Okay. Actually, it was quite good because it was on the 25th. So if you go back enough months to the 25th of March, you might get there. 25th of March. This Sunday was Annunciation Sunday. Of course, it's not close to Christmas Day, is it? I mean, that would be ridiculous, wouldn't it? Because who's heard of a human pregnancy that lasts less than a month? So it's obviously not today. I mean, if that was the case, that would be a miracle, wouldn't it? And, well, just think about that. Anyway, this year it was March the 25th. I wonder what you think of when you read this passage or hear that passage read that Alison read to us. Where does your imagination take you? I'm sure at some point you've received a Christmas card with a picture something like this on it. Mark showed a similar type picture this morning here. The artwork of the Annunciation. And many paintings down the ages have portrayed the Annunciation in this way. Now, I'm not really totally convinced by this. You know, a floating white person would probably have captured Mary's attention. But, and to be fair, if that was how it was, Mary had every reason to be a bit spooked by it. This second picture that I found looks like something out of a superhero's film, doesn't it? Sort of angling in. And I wonder if you can see from where you're sitting, there's actually a little dog in that picture as well, at the bottom. I mean, what? Sorry. And also, just my apologies if you've sent any Christmas cards like this. I did check the few that we'd received so far, and there weren't any quite like that. But, you know, think before you buy. Yeah? Think before you buy. How angels manifest themselves probably varies on the circumstances. In Hebrews, there's a line which says that you can show hospitality to angels without realizing who they are. So, as Mark also said this morning, you know, they're not convinced really that they've all got wings and are flapping about. Sorry, Lizzie, because I know you want to be an angel in one of the events. The name Gabriel in Hebrew, it can mean God is able, man of God, it can mean God is my strength or God is powerful. So it's not some sort of weak-looking, almost fairy-like person. You know, Gabriel is first recorded in Scripture as appearing to Daniel. If you look in the book of Daniel and go to chapters 8 and 9, that's about 600-odd years before he appears here to Mary. And for Daniel, he continued to sort of interpret the visions that Daniel had been given and to convey the hope and the additional prophecy of the coming of Christ in the future. Daniel actually writes and says that he appeared like a man. And then we, this morning, looked at both at St. John's, and here we looked at the fact that Gabriel came and appeared to Zechariah. Gabriel makes it clear that he's from the Lord, because he was permitted to stand in the presence of the Most High God. That's what we heard this morning from a reading just before this one in Luke. And he'd been sent to convey to Zechariah a message of joy and of hope. of John's role in the kingdom and his role in making way for the Messiah, making way for Jesus. That was a vital role. So the message that Gabriel had both to Daniel and to Zechariah was important. It was vital. And then Gabriel is seen here, sent to speak with Mary. Mary, a young Jewish girl who was engaged but was a virgin. And Gabriel comes just a few months after he's been to Zechariah to reveal to Mary that she will be the one to carry the Saviour of the world and the one to fulfil the prophecies promised years prior of the coming Saviour being born to a virgin. We heard one of those prophecies in the reading from Isaiah. In all three instances that Gabriel visits, you know, Daniel and Zechariah and Mary were at first almost terrified. But Gabriel was bringing a message of hope. And so he reassures them. He reassured Daniel that he was highly precious. He reassured Zechariah by telling him not to be frightened. And he reassures Mary by saying, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favour with God." And each instance of Gabriel coming to the people, to those people, were to provide prophecy and promise, which ultimately pointed to the Messiah, to Jesus. In Daniel, there's an insight given for what's to come in the both in the near future for the nation, but also a promise of what is to come years in the future through Jesus. Gabriel's message to Zechariah conveys a blessing that John is going to be and would be in making way for his cousin Jesus. And Mary is given the promise that the child she will soon carry is in fact the long-awaited Messiah. Gabriel is a messenger of hope who points to Jesus in every instance. You know, that's truly awe-inspiring. The Bible doesn't really go into depth about what rank, so to speak, Gabriel was, but we did hear, didn't we, that he was in the presence of God. What he is called to do is perhaps more important than his title. During a season of Christmas, we can look back at how God used messengers to give assurances of the promise of Christ coming. And God fulfilled those promises. God provided hope to mankind, and he's still providing hope through Christ today. As Andy said, you know, he works in our lives today. It's not just something we're talking about that happened in the past. So although we can't be sure how Gabriel manifested himself, we do have a record of what he said. And he told Mary that you are highly favoured. The Lord is with you. I wonder what that meant, really, highly favoured. Was she highly favoured because she was the chosen one? I guess that's part of it. She was the one chosen to be the mother of Jesus Christ. I'm guessing that she was already living a life in relationship with God. She was a descendant of David, so her genealogy was right. If you read in the Matthew's Gospel, you can read about that genealogy. This was already a planned event. It wasn't a random choice. She lived in the right area in order to fulfill the prophecy, and she was an unmarried virgin. I wonder whether you've ever had that experience when someone, perhaps in authority, maybe a boss at work or somewhere, tells you that you are really valuable to the firm, you're really important, but could we just have a chat in the office for a moment? It sort of sounds okay, but you're not quite sure what the underlying motive is. So Gabriel's opening words to Mary sound good. Great greetings, you are highly favoured. The Lord is with you. But Mary was just a little bit perturbed. In fact, she was more than a little bit perturbed. It says that she was greatly troubled at his words. See, perhaps Mary understood that when God sends you a messenger, then the message is going to have an impact on your life. Gabriel picked up on Mary's disconsolation, so to speak, and he said, "Do not be afraid." He uses her name again. "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favour with God." I think in a way that was to show her that, yes, he was in the right place. She was the right person. You really have found favour with God. And then he tells her, doesn't he? He announces to her, "You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." You know, maybe we hear those words so often, we hear them at least once a year, if not more. Maybe they lose their impact on us a bit. But you know, Mary was hearing those words for the first time. And she asks what I think is a very natural question, a perfectly reasonable question. How will this be, since I am a virgin? Now, I don't think that question was the same or like the same as the question that Zechariah asked, if you were hearing this morning's messages. His question was more one of unbelief. I think Mary's is more one of, well, yes, okay, but how can this happen? How are you going to do it, so to speak? You know, if there hadn't been an answer from Gabriel, which there is, he says that the Holy Spirit is going to come upon her and the power of the Most High will overshadow her. If there hadn't been that answer, I guess she may have assumed that it's going to happen in a more natural way, through a relationship with Joseph at some point. But you know, this was a special conception, a miraculous conception. We say in the creed, don't we? We say that we believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. I wonder when we say that, how much we really think about what we're saying. You see, this is awesome, isn't it? This is amazing. This is miraculous. I must confess, sometimes I probably just say those words and it's like, I don't have that wow moment. But we need to remind ourselves how awesome this is. The Son of God, born to a virgin. You know, maybe if we find this almost too much to believe, perhaps so did Mary. And so Gabriel told her of something else that had happened. He told her of Elizabeth's pregnancy. I was thinking about that and just looking at that next Sunday morning, we'll be moving on to when Mary goes to visit Elizabeth. And I was thinking from that, I don't think Mary perhaps knew that Elizabeth was pregnant at this stage. But Mary's response is an important thing for us to notice. Gabriel has told her that no word from God will ever fail, or nothing is impossible with God. And Mary says, "May your word to me be fulfilled. May your word to me be fulfilled." A short sentence, but a sentence full of faith. A sentence full of humility. And a sentence full of servanthood. I wonder what impact this should have on us as we read this passage again, as we hear these words from Luke once more this Christmas time, as we consider the Christmas story. Let's give ourselves the opportunity, amongst all the other things that are going on, the opportunity to be awestruck by it once again. Remembered that a few years ago, Sheila Lloyd, who was a minister's wife here, wrote a song for a BBC competition and won a prize, whatever that was. But one of the prizes was that the words would be put to music by Keith Getty and Stuart Townend. She called it Love Profound, and it says this: love profound in awesome holiness, stooping down to one like me. How can I express my gratefulness and come before your majesty? Holy God, loving me, awe-inspiring mystery. This Christmas, let's be awe-inspired again by the wonder and the mystery of Jesus Christ, born to Mary, a virgin. And let's be open to God speaking to us and receiving his word. And maybe that will be through unexpected means at times.